Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Cincinnati Bengals.
All right, let's welcome in Salman Wolfcotts, the former Bengal, now does that Believe in Bengals podcast with Adam Pac-Man Jones. You could always hear Solomon on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Solomon, how you been, my man?
Zach, doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing fantastic. Can't complain. So I want to start you off, actually, on the offensive line, Solly. Lyle Collins, we know at the end of the season, had that ACL-MCL injury, and we know how much the Bengals invested into that offensive line last year. Then this offseason, out of nowhere, they land Orlando Brown Jr. What a move that was by the Bengals.
Yeah, it just shows you how much they care about Joe Burrow and taking care of the quarterback. And it's like doubling down on the efforts that they did last year. Remember, they gave up 7 sacks in the week 1 game against Pittsburgh. I think they gave up maybe 5 more week 2 against Dallas. And after that, they began to settle in, particularly after the that Halloween loss on the road at Cleveland. They go on a nice little win streak, and they did a good job of protecting Joe from that moment on. But they started to lose guys right around week 17 in the wild card game, and I think 3 weeks in a row they lost 3 starters on that offensive line. So they're doubling down in the offseason this year by landing Orlando Brown.
Now, we don't know when Lyle Collins is going to be able to come back. They're going to move Jonah Williams over to the right side. What's going to happen with him? Because from what I read, right, he wants out of town now.
Well, yeah, he requested trade, but here's the deal. They did pick up his fifth-year option, so they have him this year. I think he's going to realize that the best bet for him before going out and trying to test the market, he'll probably be a free agent at the end of 2023, spend another year protecting Joe Burrow and see where it takes you. If you can go to leave a team that just goes to, 3 straight AFC title games if they make it again this year, that would bode for him if he hits the market. He's probably better off staying put. I think that would serve Jonah very well.
Solomon Wolcott's here with us. We know Joe Burrow's sensational from what we've seen 3 years into the league. Contract talks are already beginning, right? All that conversation. What do you think the deal ends up being for Joe Burrow, and when do you think a deal could get done? You think it will get done this offseason, or are we going to have to wait a little bit?
No, I think it will get done this offseason. I think the Bengals want to get it done. They'll probably do it as an extension. So he already does have a 4th year onto his rookie deal. That gives them, they do say, I'm hearing it's going to be probably a 4-year deal at about $214 million, or it could even be an 8-year deal at around $400 million, depending on if Joe and his representatives want to sign the short deal and hit the market again, or just be with the Bengals more long-term. Either way, it's going to be north of $50 million a year, and it'll probably reset the quarterback market.
Well, here's the big question. How much of that's going to be guaranteed? Is he going for one of those fully guaranteed deals?
Well, look, I couldn't tell you that, but I listen, if he asked for $200 mil guaranteed, I don't think he'd be out of line. A lot of the teams aren't wanting to go close to the Deshaun Watson deal. And you and I both know whether it's this offseason or next year in the offseason, someone's going to eclipse that number for a guaranteed number. So I think some of the owners need to get over it. It's one of their own who signed the deal, and to act like that deal doesn't exist, that would reek of collusion.
Well, here's the big question. If Joe Burrow was available in a situation like Lamar Jackson was available right now, how many teams do you think would give him like a 5-year deal for $230 million guaranteed?
He'd probably get more. You and I both know.
Yeah. Do you think this is it for Lamar? Because, man, this seems like a very discouraging offseason. If I was a Ravens fan, I would kind of expect him to be somewhere else after it's all said and done.
You know, I'm talking to my good friend Jameson Hensley, covering the Ravens for ESPN there. He's got his finger on the pulse of what's happening. And I asked him point blank. I said, look, 1 minute Lamar's asking for a trade. Another minute the general manager is saying they're willing to take a quarterback in the first round. Next thing I know, they're offering him $175 million up from $133 million. If the number hit $200 million guaranteed, do we have a deal? And he says, yeah. One minute looks like they're far apart. Another minute looks like they're still the best of friends. And he said he could see this ending with Lamar walking back into the building and everyone hugging and kissing and picking up. So, I mean, it has huge swings. There's a lot of disparity, but I think they're more closely aligned than not.
Salman Wolcott's here with us. So we mentioned Burrow and Lamar inside that AFC North. What are kind of your expectations this year for Kenny Pickett and then also Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, and, you know, both those quarterbacks, I think, are we know Deshaun Watson can play. It's about how close and how quickly he can get back to being what he was at the end of 2020, which was some time ago, right? So it may take him a little bit of while to get there, but I think it's going to be very interesting in the meantime because if you look around them, the Cleveland Browns have a pretty good roster. They have one of the best running backs in the league in Nick Chubb. They have one of the best offensive lines. They just beefed up their wide receiving core, and they have two really good tight ends who can both run routes and are decent enough blockers. The defense, if you have an edge rusher like Myles Garrett and a shutdown corner like Denzel Ward and a bunch of other first-round picks in that secondary, you're going to win your share of games. It's going to be about how closely Deshaun Watson can play to like what we saw in 2020. As for the Steelers, they're looking for a quantum leap for Kenny Pickett. I think George Pickens at the wide receiver position is an untapped resource. Deontay Johnson continues to get better. And if that offensive line wakes up, we know that the defense can be plenty good. So it's going to be a real four-team race in the AFC North. I think the Bengals know that, and certainly the other teams expect that.
Do you feel like this is going to be Joe Mixon's last year with the Bengals and maybe look for the Bengals to draft a running back coming up next at the end of the month?
Well, it sure does look like it after losing Samaje Perine and the $12 million number next to Joe Mixon. You know, both he and Dalvin Cook, these are two teams that seem non-committal, right? If they release Joe Mixon, and I hope they don't, they release him after June 1st, they get a $12 million cap relief. When you think about the fact that they've got to give a ton of money to Joe Burrow, to T. Higgins, and then next year to Ja'Marr Chase, they're going to have to clear the deck somewhere. And most teams are doing that at the running back position. And I think Joe Mixon gives this team something special that a lot of other teams don't have, and that's power in the running game late in the season and into the playoffs. So I like to see them do everything they can to keep him.
With that being said, how confident are you that he'll be on the roster come week one this year?
Not confident. I'm 50-50 this year and not very confident beyond 2023.
How early do you think they draft a running back? Could you see them drafting a running back in the first round this year?
Well, yeah, because they're, what, 28?
Yeah.
I mean, that's about where you would do it if it's Bijan Robinson. And just like what the Giants have seen, you get the fifth-year option on running backs that you don't plan to give them a second contract, but you would love to keep them on the fifth-year option. That means you better take them in the first round. If you're going to take them in the first round, you want to take them in the late 20s or in the 30s. The Bengals are in a right position to do that.
Salman Wolcott, we know they're going to get a deal done with Burrow. We know they're going to get a deal done eventually with Ja'Marr Chase. I know what Duke Tobin said about T. Higgins, but do you expect them to eventually get a deal done with T. Higgins?
Yes, because people need to know T. Higgins, he's first-round talent. More importantly, he's a first-round young man. I mean, this guy is he does everything the right way. And if you really take a look at how Zach Taylor and how the Duke Tobin, these guys that built this team, is really with character guys. And Joe Burrow is a character guy. He is the straw that stirs that drink. And he's built a real good family of players around him. And so I think Joe Burrow and what he has been able to do with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, that's where you need to really check in on whether or not they're keeping guys or not, because if it's right for Joe Burrow, then it's right for the Bengals and it's right for everyone.
Salman, this is a confident team, as they should be. We know they talked a lot going into that AFC Championship game and it didn't go their way. What do you think they learned from that AFC title game, and how do you kind of look back at what happened in that last game of the season for the Bengals?
So I think they learned that we were right. Even though they drafted Ja'Marr Chase that year, many of us was right, that blocking comes before touchdowns, not the other way around. You can't protect the quarterback, you can't win. And as much as they hit it out of the park with Ja'Marr Chase, it still was the Achilles heel that cost them the opportunity to win a championship. And even in year number three, this past season, when it came down to it, Chris Jones wreaked havoc on backup players because of the lack of depth, because of the injuries on the offensive line. That's why they went out and spent money again on Orlando Brown. They know they've got to get it right on this offensive line, and only then can you pay attention to the luxury pieces of wide receivers, running backs, and you better have a good secondary, because Cooper Kupp went right down the field on Eli Apple like it was nobody's business. So I think that's what they really learned, to be honest with you.
We know how great this Bengals team is. We know for the foreseeable future it's Super Bowl or bust when you get to a Super Bowl, lose, and then you get to a title game right after that. Right now, I know we still have a draft to get to, Solomon. How many teams do you think are better than the Bengals on paper?
Yeah, you know, I always say these games are going to come down to the final seconds. They always do. I look at all those teams in the AFC that are bunched together. You give me the quarterback, and then I say, well, Burrow, can, you know, he's the guy. In the final moments of a game, he's the guy. There's a couple other guys, and there's no doubt Pat Mahomes is that guy. I'm going to go with Josh Allen, but I think Burrow passed him up. So right now, I'm telling you, it's Chiefs, and it's the Cincinnati Bengals. Everybody else can get in line, even though you got to pay attention to the Chargers, because I think Herbert is that guy. They can put the right team around him.
And the right coach, too.
Well, you said it, not me, but that's part of the puzzle, right?
Solomon Wolcott, it's always great to catch up with you. Really do appreciate the time.
Zach, you're the best. Keep up the good work, my friend.